Hallelujah. I don't know why today I have all these old sayings going through my head. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings? Remember that song? How many remember that song? Raise your hand. All right. Some of you can relate. Was that about 25%? Maybe 20%? Please open your Bibles to Acts 28, verses 30 and 31. The last two chapters, last two verses in the book of Acts. And Paul dwelt two whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, for your constancy, for your faithfulness, for knowing, God, that you're always with us, you never leave us. We pray, God, for the ministry of your Spirit in this place tonight. Reveal your word to our hearts. Reveal your word to our will so that we can submit to you and fulfill your purpose in our lives through obedience to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I'd like to talk to you tonight about unhindered. These are the last words of the book of Acts, and many people who get to this part of that great book in the Bible talk about how there's no official ending to the book of Acts, and that may be so, and it may not be so. In reading, I find out that there's a lot of opinions about that, about why Luke did or didn't close officially. Some believe that he intended to continue writing. Some believe that he intended to pick up the story at a later date. We know that at some point Luke was Paul's companion and he witnessed many of the events personally that took place in the book of Acts. But the question that remains in most people's minds is what happened after this time. There's a discussion whether or not Paul was actually released or whether this was the only time he was in that Roman prison or he was held prisoner by Rome, and whether he was executed at this time or released and executed later. We know that at some point the Roman government executed him. But the scripture says here that he had 2 years with all confidence and no man forbidding him, preaching and teaching the kingdom of God for 2 whole years straight. Now the word here, that phrase where it says no man forbidding him, is really just one word. And it means unhindered. For 2 straight years, though Paul was a prisoner of the Roman government, though Paul was Nero's prisoner, for 2 years he was unhindered in his ministry. In his own hired house in Rome, the greatest city at that time in the Western world and maybe in all of the world. A prisoner but able to pay for his own dwelling. A prisoner but able to entertain guests. A prisoner but able to preach and teach. Day after day, week after week, month after month, unhindered. For 365 days, 2 years in a row. Praise God. Prisoner of Rome, it was during this time. Most people believe that Paul wrote some of his most powerful epistles. He wrote the Colossian letter, so full of the oneness doctrine. and representing and explaining who Christ was. Who is Jesus? Withstanding new heresies that were beginning to arise. During this time, he wrote the Philippian letter, which some people call the Epistle of Joy. In Philippians 4:8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true," this is Paul, the prisoner, "whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Praise God for 2 years unhindered. Think if for 2 years, every day unhindered, we thought on these things. He wrote the Ephesian letter, telling the church how to achieve unity through leadership and how to achieve maturity through ministry. He wrote the letter of mercy to Philemon, who had owned the slave called Onesimus, who Paul sent bearing the letter. I believe that Paul was expecting and hoping that Philemon would not only recognize that Onesimus was free spiritually, but that he ought to be free physically as well. This from the prisoner of Rome. Unhindered. Everyone say unhindered. He was unhindered. Nothing forbade him. Nothing stopped him. Praise God. 730 days in a row. Maybe longer. Luke only mentions the 2 years. God opened a door. I said, God opened a door. Now, how many of us would choose to be a prisoner in order to fulfill the will of God? Raise your hand. Maybe we can arrange it. He was free to preach and teach the gospel to the soldiers. There's all kinds of tradition surrounding this. Nothing that can necessarily be verified historically, but certainly, the Apostle Paul must have had an impact on those that came to him. Tradition tells us that they had to switch soldiers every so many hours because he kept converting those that were with him. I don't know if that's true or not. We can't prove that. But he was allowed to have people come to his house, and he ministered there. First, he ministered to the Jewish synagogue there in Rome. And when they were not willing to accept the gospel, he began to preach to the Gentiles that were there. There was already a Christian community. They met him when he first came. But history tells us that there were those in Caesar's household that came to God as a result of Paul's ministry. Amen. God gave Paul a window of time, at least 2 years, in which to fulfill his commission to preach the gospel in Rome. We don't know how much longer, but Paul had a commission. He was set on going there. He surrendered himself to Caesar's judgment when he was being held in order to escape the Jewish authorities, but more than that, because it was in his heart to go to Rome and preach the gospel. And as a result, God opened the door. It wasn't too long after this, and it may be exactly 2 years after this, history's a little bit unclear, that Nero began to persecute the Christians, that Nero turned against the Christian community. And there was a great fire in Rome, and most people believe that Nero was responsible for it. And when the people rose up, he blamed it on the Christians. Now imagine that. During this time, he had a window of mercy, a window of grace, even at the hands of the Roman government. Throughout his journey from Jerusalem to Caesarea, to Rome. He was protected by Roman soldiers and allowed great liberty for at least 2 years, unhindered. But history tells us that at some point, Nero turned on the Christian community. I just wonder if it wasn't that Paul was really having an effect on the Caesar's household. I just wonder how many times Nero heard about this Jesus, the risen one. I just wonder how much conviction he had to deal with. You know Nero, his whole approach to ruling changed as he became more dissolute in his lifestyle, as he became more subject to his fleshly desires. He became known as a profligate, just totally captive to his own lust. And as a result, those around him became afraid of him, and he actually had some people close to him murdered in order to maintain his position of power. But for 2 years, Paul was unhindered. What would happen if suddenly we realized that here I am at work and I'm totally unhindered? Think what could happen in the workplace if for 2 whole years you allowed God to open the door for unhindered ministry. What would happen if we felt unhindered to preach and teach the gospel at our family holiday gatherings? For 2 years, I'd really look forward to Thanksgiving then. I'd really be excited about Memorial Day. I'd be racing to those family gatherings. What would happen if every one of us felt unhindered to follow the voice of God? If every one of us every day woke up and knew the will of God for ourselves, and we were willing to move unhindered into the world and do what God had called us to do for 2 years. If every member of Calvary Gospel Church, if every member of African International Ministries, if every member of Voces Unidas, if every member of the church in Stoughton for 2 years was unhindered to the call of God every day, what would happen to Dane County? What would happen in our lives? Unhindered. 730 straight days, full of the Holy Ghost, on fire, doing just what God called us to do. Praise God. Maybe for you it'll be preaching in Asia. Or maybe praying for your next door neighbor in his living room. I said we, unhindered. Praise God. But I believe that God wants to open that kind of window for you and for me. I believe we're this close to that place where we're going to have unhindered ministry in Dane County. We don't know how long the window will be open, any more than Luke really knew. He just knew that for 2 years it was that way. If for 2 years we can minister, we can preach, we can teach, we can witness, we can pray unhindered in Dane County, what will happen here? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Why don't you lift up your hands and let God show you what he wants to do in your life in an unhindered relationship. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. How many believe that God can do this in our lives? How many believe that God can do this here in Dane County? How many believe that God can do this here at Calvary Gospel Church? Maybe just 2 years, maybe longer. When this church will be unhindered to preach and teach the gospel. Do you want to be unhindered in your work for God? Paul was in prison. Nero was the emperor, but he was unhindered. He was in the most important city in the world, and he was reaching the emperor's household. His ministry was Surely you've heard of Art Wilson. Anybody know who Art Wilson is? Art Wilson is a pastor from Detroit, Michigan, who knew somebody who was worked at the UN. And somebody at the UN, I don't remember all the details, somebody at the UN was in need of prayer, like ready to die in need of prayer. And they called somebody who knew Art Wilson, and Art Wilson went with somebody who worked at the UN, and he went there and prayed, and God did a miracle. You believe God can do a miracle in your life? You believe God wants to do miracles at Calvary Gospel Church? Do you believe God wants to do miracles where you work, in your neighborhood? I wanted to see God do miracles in McFarland. Now that I live there, I want to see great things done there. I want to be part of it. I want to be unhindered to reach that community for Jesus' name. Praise God. Art Wilson is the pastor from Detroit, Michigan, that now has several regular Bible studies going on in the United Nations complex. Preaching and teaching unhindered to those that work there and some world leaders that come from across the globe are sitting in on his Bible studies and receiving the Word of God. Unhindered! Praise God. God did a miracle. He opened the door. Not only that, but the most recent reports that I've read, they don't come right out and spell it out, but they say, don't be surprised when you hear the reports about those that have received, as a result of the work at the United Nations, who have received Bible studies in that big house on Pennsylvania Avenue. You know, the one where the president lives, they call it the White House. There, from what I understand, there are apostolic one God tongue talking Bible studies going on in the White House right now. God knows how to work unhindered. If God be for us, who can be against us? Look at Romans chapter 10. I want to be unhindered in the work of God. Romans 10:8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Some people think that Paul's telling people how to be saved there. But let's keep reading. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. That sounds like an unhindered gospel. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Paul is not telling people how to be saved. He's telling people how to take the word of God and go get people saved. He's saying that if we will take the word of God that is near us, the word of God that's even in our mouth, that he will work through us and do things in an unhindered manner, that there will be people saved if we will only speak the word. Praise God. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing, he says next, and hearing by the word of God. Paul's not telling us how to be saved there. That's already taken care of in the book of Acts. He's talking about how to reach others, to take the word that we have, to speak it. And he promises that God will bless us if we will live it. The Bible says over and over again, the just shall live by faith. The same passage that here in Romans quotes that same verse. The just shall live by faith. Paul's talking about how to be an overcomer, how to reach the lost, how to be effective in ministry. Speak the word that God gives you. You don't have to be behind a pulpit to do that. You don't have to even have a Bible in your hand. You just need to have the Bible in your heart. And when the Holy Ghost starts moving, you start talking. We are entering into the place where we will be able to minister unhindered in the Word of God. Our world is hurting. Our world is hungry. They're confused. They're at odds with each other. We don't need to get in the middle of this political fray that's going on in our country. I have my own opinions, trust me. And I'd be willing to share them with you anytime. But that's not what we're here for. Praise God. But Paul had to go through some things. He didn't just one day get the Holy Ghost, and the next day he's in Rome. To begin with, he was not accepted even by his own people. All through the book of Acts, we watch Paul's ministry. He goes from place to place. Every time he lands in a city, the first thing he does is he goes to the synagogue. And he preaches the gospel to the Jewish people in those cities. To the Jews first, and then to the Gentiles, the Bible says. But in every case, there were only some that accepted the message, and he was rejected by his people, by his own people. In one place, he said, my real burden is for the people of Israel, but God has called me to preach to the Gentiles. See, he was on the road to Damascus. He was hunting Christians. He was going to bring him, take him to jail. Some of them would have been executed. But while he was hunting Christians, Jesus was hunting him. And he was struck down on the road to Damascus, and when he looked up, he saw a bright light and heard a voice. And the voice said to him, why are you persecuting me? And Paul said, well, Lord, because he knew only God would be doing this. Well, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus, who you are persecuting. You know, we talk about the light bulb going on. Well, the light bulb was already on. And it was just a matter of him allowing it to get into his heart. I was going to say matter of him opening his eyes, but by that time he was already blind, so that wasn't going to help me any. But Paul then goes into Damascus, and God sends another Jewish man, Ananias, there to minister to him, who I think when he first came in was shaking because he knew that Paul was the great persecutor and Paul. The Lord sent me. And it was there that Paul received what the confirmation of the call that God had given him to go to the Gentiles. From that day forward, his life was never the same. He could not deny the experience that he had there on the road to Damascus. He could never forget what God had done for him. He could never forget when Ananias laid hands on him and his eyes were open and he began to speak in other tongues. Well, how do you know that? Well, I know that he said, I speak in tongues more than you all. I know that he was told that he needed to be baptized in Jesus' name, and that's what he did. And from that day forward, his life was never the same. He could never forget that God had called him to reach the Gentiles. Praise God. Anybody here have an experience that you could never forget? I remember the day when I was baptized in Jesus' name. I remember the day I came out of the back room and I stood on the platform with the red carpet on Milwaukee Street. And I stopped there for a minute and I looked around and I thought, how come everything looks so different all of a sudden? How come I feel so different inside? I hadn't even received the Holy Ghost yet, but something had changed inside of me. I felt light as a feather. I felt like I was new all over, inside and out. I had an experience I'll never, ever forget. 10 days later, in a church in Appleton, Wisconsin, I was praying for the Holy Ghost. And about three or four words, there was a thing I was holding on to in my life and I didn't want to admit it. And finally, the Lord got through to me there as I prayed standing. I wasn't laying, I wasn't rolling, I wasn't jumping. I was just standing there with my hands lifted and praying, and someone was praying with me. And I said, okay, God, I'll do that. I'll give that to you. Boom. About three or four words came rolling out of my mouth. I never heard, didn't understand what they meant. And I was so surprised when it happened. I heard it in my head, and I spoke it with my mouth, and it was like, is that how it works? And I stopped. And I looked at the guy that was praying with me, and I said, is that it? He said, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. Hallelujah. I came back home. I don't know if Brother Grant remembers. I said, you know, I didn't really get it, but I spoke in tongues. Did I really get it? He said, well, I can't tell you that. All I can tell you is just keep praying till you know you got it. 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 Praise God. Doesn't matter what it is. Whether it's the Holy Ghost, whether it's direction for your ministry, whether it's help in your home, whether it's an answer for your marriage, keep praying till you know you got it. Keep praying till you know you got it. Keep praying till you know you got it. Paul had to go through some things. His own people, they didn't accept him anymore. The Christians at first didn't accept him. They didn't want anything to do with him. It took Barnabas to make friends with him before he started becoming accepted. He went and visited Peter in Jerusalem, and he was able to talk with him. But all the other Christians, when he came by, they just kind of stood back. Like, they didn't trust him. Praise God. You know, we look around us today, and we see the wickedness in our world. And when I first became a Christian, we didn't use that word wicked so much. But our culture is becoming wicked. It's beginning to fit the definition. But Paul had the same things that we're dealing with. Jesus was dealing with the same things that we're... The Roman culture was as every bit as wicked and foul as what our culture is becoming. I have a belief. This isn't a doctrine. I can't prove this, but I think there's a pattern. I think that that cultures, that societies follow a pattern. And it's the same pattern that we see in Nebuchadnezzar's statue. That eventually they go through these phases of growth, and they become, at first they have this early time of renewal and refreshing, and they just think, when the United States became the United States, it was a beacon to the world of what democracy was and what a constitutional republic could be. The world was aghast that this group of colonies could become such a great and powerful entity in the world. A golden age. And then little by little, things change. In Nebuchadnezzar's statue, it was brass, and then it became iron, and then iron and clay mixed together. There was silver in there, but there was a diminishing over time. And I see the same thing happen in our culture. I believe that we went through a phase where we were very much like the Greek culture. All about philosophy and beauty. And remember the hippies? No, a lot of you don't remember the hippies. Don't look at me like that. Peace and love, brother. Have a flower. They're not saying peace and love now. Now they're gathering up in crowds and storming the gates. That's a Roman culture. The Roman culture was based on the law. They were a very legally oriented people, but at the same time they became that what the Roman emperors, they established what was Caesar Augustus began the age of what was called the Pax Romana, that peace of Rome that covered the whole Roman Empire. But during this time, the more efficient the Roman Empire became, the more important the Roman government became. It became less of a democracy, less representative, and more authoritarian. There's a movement in our world towards that kind of authoritarian attitude in world government. But at the same time that was happening, their culture deteriorated. They had certain norms and morals at one point, but by the time the Pax Romana began to become established, little by little, prostitution was rampant. And homosexuality was almost expected of the upper classes. Drugs and alcohol were the thing that soothed the people. It is said that the best way to describe it would be bread and circuses. The bread was the free food that the government and the wealthy people gave to the poor and the slaves. Sound like anything any government programs you're familiar with? And I'm not trying to be political. I'm just painting a picture here. And the circuses were the mass entertainment venues that took place in Rome. Give them food, give them drink, and entertain them, and we can continue to control the masses. That's the culture that Paul was dealing with. He was called by God. There came a time in Paul's ministry when the Lord spoke to him. He had decided he felt the call, a burden for Rome. He needed to go. His ministry went from city to city. And if you follow it, you'll see that most often he went to population centers that were on the major Roman roads. And he ministered there because he knew that from those places he could reach out to communities. Kind of like, you know, daughter works and planting churches and things like that. Sound familiar?
But he knew that the heart of the empire was Rome, and he wanted to go there. And then God spoke to him. In the worst of circumstances, it was when he came to Jerusalem at the end of his third missionary journey. He met with James, the elder. And James said, you know, some of the Jewish believers have a problem with you. They think you've gone a little too native. You're acting like a Gentile more than you are a Jew. And they want to be sure that you're still a Jew. So Paul said, well, sure, I'm still a Jew. And so he took a vow. And he was fulfilling his vow in Jerusalem when the Jews of that city made false claims about him bringing Gentiles into the temple, and they started a riot. And that's how Paul got arrested. And it was then that he turned himself over to the Roman government. To this corrupt Roman government, this Jewish Christian turned himself over and trusted that God was going to fulfill the call on his life. It was there in that jail, being held in fear of his life, that God spoke to him and said, don't worry, I've called you to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Don't worry, I've called you to go to Rome, and you will go to Rome. Well, I feel something right here. God is talking to somebody right now, and he's reminding you of the call he placed on your heart so long ago. And he's telling you, don't worry, that call has not... The Bible says that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. You may have forgotten it from time to time, but he never forgot the thing he told you. Don't worry, Paul. You're going to Rome, just like I told you. Don't worry, brother. You're going to do the work I called you to, just like I told you. Don't worry, sister. I'm going to fulfill that call. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. And the window's going to open, and you're going to minister unhindered. On the way, Paul suffered great persecution. There's a list. I'm not going to read the list. Right here in front of me, I have 14 verses on the persecutions of Paul. And that's just portions of the book of Acts. He gives other lists in Corinthians. And just the stoned and left for dead, beaten within the inch of his life several times with 40 stripes, save one. Shipwrecked three times, left for dead in several places, time and again. Snake bitten around the campfire. And God used it as a witness and a testimony to his glory. Don't worry, brother. God's going to fulfill the call. Don't worry, sister. He hasn't forgotten what he told you. Praise God. We should not let our negative circumstances or the setbacks of life keep us from fulfilling the call of God in our lives. He wants to do a work in our lives. He wants to use us. And he will do it when we get to the place, when we fulfill his purpose, if we follow his will, if we speak his word, we're going to find that place where we can minister unhindered. Let's stand.
I'm not giving you a word to let it drop to the ground. I've not given you a vision to erase it from your sight. I've not given you a dream so that you can forget it and walk away. No, I have called you for a purpose. I have called you for an hour and a time and a place. And I will fulfill my will in your life. You will surrender to me. I have a plan. I have a purpose. I had that plan and purpose before you drew your first breath, before you knew your name or your mother's name. I knew you. I knew what I would do for you, said the Lord.
Praise God. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight, I want to give those that have never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost the first opportunity to come and pray. Now, I know that can be a threatening thing. I remember what it felt like to have someone ask me to come and pray when I wasn't used to it. I actually crawled up on the altar the first time when I thought that's what you were supposed to do. But if you want to just come on down and stand here in front, I believe God will fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And before you're gone tonight, you can have your sins washed away in Jesus' name. If you want to come now, someone who cares about you will come and help you understand how to let God have his way in your life. Just come and pray. Ask God to forgive you for your sin and give your life to him, and he'll do the rest. I truly believe that God awakened something in someone. That's our theme, awaken. I believe that's what he's doing. Now, Pastor talked about the authority of God, and that authority comes from his word. The word that is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. You need to respond to that word that God has spoken to you tonight. It might not be the very word that I spoke, but the Holy Ghost spoke to you. You need to come. Praise God. Someone has had their vision, their call, their purpose awakened in this place. You need to surrender to God and let him give you a fresh start, give you a new vision, give you renewed purpose. Praise God. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you can handle, but will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You don't need to stay trapped where you are. He's got a way out. And it's not just a way out to mediocrity, but it's a way out to fulfill his will, to fulfill the purpose that he has given you. Praise God. Unhindered. Pray unhindered tonight. Don't let somebody else stop you. Don't be worried about what someone else thinks. Don't be worried about what it looks like. Be unhindered and worship with all your heart. Pray with all your heart. Surrender to God with everything you are. Hallelujah. Be unhindered in the presence of God.
Set me on fire. Set me on fire. Take all I have in these hands and multiply, God, all that I am.